All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Thank you so much, Mary. It is such an honor and a privilege to stand here and share with you this morning. I want to thank Pastor Eric for allowing me to do this. And after today, you will be grateful that he is our senior pastor and you only have to hear from me every once in a while. I am so thankful to work with a pastor who is real and genuine. In the few weeks I've been here, I know that the Pastor Eric that you see on Sunday mornings is the same Pastor Eric that I see Monday through Saturday working here. And it is an honor to be here and to be called to be a part of the team that God is putting together here at this church. We're all blessed to be under his leadership. And I also want to say thank you to Bobby Foster and to your family, Bobby, for your example of faithfulness. Your music has blessed my life in just the few Sundays I've been here. And I know this is a special day in your life and the life of your family. When I first stood in this pulpit with my family beside me on Mother's Day, I talked about two words. Some of you may remember those two words, some of you may not. But they were the two words, legacy and investment. It was a God-appointed moment for us to stand here. And I hope that we were a living example of those two words. Some of you got to meet the legacy of our children. And hopefully you heard me talk about the investment that we want to make in the lives of the people here in this church. And then in my first ever children's sermon a couple of weeks ago, I focused on the word together. We are all in this thing called life together. So as you can tell, I like to focus on one word or phrase that will help you grow and think about your spiritual life, your relationship with God. And those words also reflect what God is doing in my own life as well. Today, I could have chosen many things to speak on. Faithfulness, shared with you more of Pastor Eric's vision for the future, talked about spiritual champions that we want to bring to grow here in this church. But God made it very clear to me that I was to focus on the word overwhelmed. Perhaps that's how you feel today, or maybe that's how you felt at some point in your life. We have certainly had and are still having those feelings because of the things going on in our lives right now. So when Pastor Eric asked me to speak, God made it pretty clear that the title of my message should be Overwhelmed. But before we get into the message, I do want to remind you that part of my purpose and my calling to this church body is to be available for pastoral counseling so that if you or people that you know need someone to sit down and listen to them and give them biblical guidance for living, that is part of the passion and the calling of my life. If you look up the word overwhelming, you will see a couple of things, many definitions. To surge over and submerge, to engulf, to cover over completely, to overpower in thought or feeling. As I prayed about what to share this morning, as I said, many things came to my mind. And of course, in order to make this into a sermon, I knew that I needed to have 3 points. And I pray that these 3 things will be things that you will remember when you are overwhelmed in life. We're going to look at some different passages of Scripture today. Many years ago, I learned a work principle that has stayed with me, and it is this. Begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. And that's also a great tip for parenting. So we're going to start today by using the scripture we will also end with Philippians 3, 12 through 14. So I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to that passage, Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. This is what the Word of God says. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. May God use this passage to encourage you today. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the ways you have already spoken to us in this service, how you have reminded us of the importance of faithful service, how you have reminded us that we need to have faith in you. And Lord, I pray that you will use these words to impact our lives and that you will speak to us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, you know that I have nothing to say, but you have everything to say to us. And help us to listen today, to listen with our hearts, to listen with our minds, and to leave here changed and challenged. Lord, help us to never forget the cross and what it means. And help us to leave here today better equipped to obey your word and to do everything in love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We live in a world that is full of distractions. Some call it information overload. I wonder, do smartphones really make us smarter, or do they just fill our brains with more stuff? Life gets too busy. Feeling overwhelmed happens to all of us at some point in our lives. Think about so many in our country who have been through some significant things lately. The tornadoes in Alabama and North Carolina, the floods in Mississippi and Montana, and even this week, the terrible fires in Arizona. For whatever the reason may be, maybe that is where some of you are today. We are overwhelmed by life's circumstances. For those of you who like to fill in the blanks, those are the first two blanks. We are overwhelmed by life's circumstances. And let's look at some examples of this in Scripture. As I hope you will come to know about me, I have a very high regard for the Word of God. In fact, one of the things that we should be overwhelmed by is the Word of God. The word overwhelmed or overwhelming appears 19 times in the New International Version of Scripture. And don't worry, we're not going to look at all 19. Remember, I work with teenagers, short attention spans. Many of the Bible characters that we know very well have dealt with overwhelming circumstances in their lives. Moses, Abraham, Joseph, who is my favorite Old Testament character, Naomi and Ruth that Pastor Eric just finished a series on, David, and of course, Jesus. God has spoken to my life so much lately through the Psalms. In fact, Psalm 121 is the verse that he used, the passage that he used to confirm my calling here. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? But I want you to look with me just for a moment at Psalm 18, verses 4 through 6. If you'll turn to Psalm 18, verses 4 through 6, and this is what it says. The cord of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Most of the time when we hear the word overwhelmed in terms of our life circumstances, it is usually negative. as if it is more than we can handle. In many ways, these past few months for my family, these past few months have been overwhelming. Beginning a new ministry, ending school, coming to a new community, our oldest daughter, Elena, getting married, planning and executing a wedding 9 hours away, and an outdoor wedding, I might add. That's overwhelming enough. Moving our middle daughter, Laura Grace, home from college into her place of service this summer. Finding a place to live, finding a car for Laura Grace, still searching on that one. So now you know why it was not hard for me to come up with a title for this message. So many people go through times in their lives that are overwhelming, where they feel as if life is caving in on them. In this psalm I just read, which, by the way, is also repeated in 2 Samuel 22, and I believe if God puts it in the Bible more than once, we really ought to pay attention to it. David is talking about death and destruction being all around him to the point of being overwhelmed. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, said to his disciples in Matthew 26, 38, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. There are many things that happen in our life that are overwhelming, and death is certainly one of them. Wondering how are we going to carry on when that person we loved and depended on is gone. The birth of a child can be overwhelming. The loss of a job, really any kind of loss, can give us that feeling of being overwhelmed. But this passage also tells us about one of the choices we have when we are overwhelmed. What does it say that David's response was? Look at verse 6. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. That should also be our response when we are overwhelmed. No matter what we are going through, to call out to God. Prayer is so important in my life. And I know that one of my purposes here today is to call us as a church to cry out to the Lord in prayer. I'm just beginning to know many of you, so I would never pretend to know what might be overwhelming to you at this season of your life. But as I said, Joseph in the Old Testament is one of my favorite characters. And you think about all of the overwhelming things that he encountered. Yet, towards the end of that story, when he stood before his jealous brothers who tried to kill him, he spoke these words that have become one of my favorite life verses in Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. To accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. Oh, how that verse has come true in my own life. Joseph forgave his brothers, and that brings us to our next point. As I said earlier, we often think of being overwhelmed as a negative thing, but I want today for us to leave here thinking of it as a positive thing. We need to be overwhelmed by God's forgiveness shown to us at the cross. Throughout my ministry with young people over the years, I've always sought to point them to the cross. I'm sure that many of you have seen the movie The Passion of the Christ that came out several years ago. The movie opened on February 25th, 2004. And I remember vividly going to see that movie with a youth group that I served at that time, and the very emotional response it evoked from those teenagers and from myself. The horror of the crucifixion is shown on film like it has never been shown before. Often when I'm praying aloud, I will say, Lord, help us to never forget the cross and what it means. And that is one of the prayers of my heart. We are all here today because of what Jesus did for us, how he gave his life for us, how he overcame death so that we could have a real relationship with God. The symbol right behind me, hanging on that wall, should always remind us of the price that Jesus paid for us. I learned this week that Bud Parham made that cross, and it is part of the legacy of his life. And what a wonderful legacy that is. How often does your forgiveness bring you to tears? Almost every time I think about the cross and what it means, I am overwhelmed. You might ask me, how do you respond to that feeling of being overwhelmed by the cross? And I would tell you that I respond with thanksgiving, with a thankful heart. And I can never thank God enough for what he has done for me. In all honesty, it relates to my calling as a minister. When I was in college, I had to evaluate my life and make a decision about my future. And I knew that there is nothing that can compare to what Christ had done for me on that cross. And the purpose of my life had to be sharing the truth of his forgiveness with other people and living my life for him. I was, and I still am, overwhelmed by his forgiveness. Have you experienced his forgiveness? And if you have, are you still overwhelmed by it? Psalm 65:3 is a verse that you should underline. If you write in your Bible, if you underline things, underline this verse because it says things so clearly. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. When you are overwhelmed by your life circumstances, ask God to remind you of his forgiveness and be more overwhelmed by that. Finally, we need to be overwhelmed by God's love. And of course, the cross is also a symbol that reminds us of his great love for us. As I examine my own feelings of being overwhelmed these past few months, I must tell you that I have been overwhelmed in such a positive way by your love and acceptance here. We have truly experienced God's love by coming to be a part of this church, and we can never thank you enough for that. You have lived out another one of my favorite verses, John 13:35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. There's a book that's come out in the past couple of years that I intend to read called Crazy Love, Overwhelmed by a Relentless God by Francis Chan. I've read portions of it, and it was required reading for my daughter Laura Grace's studies when she began college this past year at Charleston Southern. Chan was the founding pastor of Cornerstone Church in Simi Valley, California, and he has had and continues to have an incredible ministry. He was asked one time, where does the urgency of your message come from? And this is how he answered. Think about this, what he said in terms of being overwhelmed. My mom died giving birth to me. My stepmom died when I was 9. She was killed in a car accident. My dad died when I was 12. He had cancer. I learned that there might not be a tomorrow. I always want this to be the greatest message I'll preach in case I'm not here to give another one. The message of God's love through Christ Jesus. One of the passions of Francis Chan's life is to challenge the church out of complacency, to get us out of our seats and into the streets, as I heard said this week. It says on the back of the book, Crazy Love, because the answer to religious complacency isn't working harder at a list of do's and don'ts, It's falling in love with God. And once you encounter His love, you will never be the same. The Bible is full of verses dealing with God's love, so many I could share with you. But as we come to a close today, I want you to look at Romans 8, 38 and 39. Many of you know this passage of Scripture. But I want you to hear it today as a fresh word from God for those of us who are overwhelmed. Paul was certainly overwhelmed by his life circumstances. But he wrote under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." So the question comes, how should we respond when we are overwhelmed by life circumstances? Just as David did, we are to cry out to God, to be real before Him, and to obey 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, another passage that guides my life every day. Be joyful always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We need to be more overwhelmed by God's love and forgiveness, and remember that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I've asked the choir to help me end my sermon today. Music has always been a big part of my life. God has taught me so much of who He is through music. He's spoken to my heart and worked in my life using music in many, many ways. This song that the choir is going to sing is for those of us who are overwhelmed right now, who know that we cannot do life without the Lord's help. We need to be encouraged to press on, to keep going, to keep believing, especially when we are overwhelmed by life circumstances. My prayer is that we as a church will be the people of God who are not overwhelmed by our circumstances, but that we will be overwhelmed by God's love and forgiveness. In preparing for this message, one of the most interesting things I found out was this. Our English words, baptism and baptize, come from the Greek words baptisma and baptizo. Baptizo means to be overwhelmed, fully wet or washed. Oh, that we who are known as the people of First Baptist Church would be known as people who are overwhelmed by God's love and forgiveness. We will end back where we started with this challenge from Philippians 3. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, we must press on.